day wherever you are around the world, and thank you for your company. It is time for another Spiritual Baby Speed Study on Truth to You. That's truth2u.org. G'day, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Good morning, Jono.
We're returning to Hebrew roots, right?
Yeah, we are. We've been away for a good few months, and now we're going to go back, and I think this might be our last one.
I think it has to be. You never know what else you can squeeze out of Hebrews. Like, I didn't see this coming. I didn't see this coming, but we are returning to the book of Hebrews for another episode of Hebrew Roots, where we take the book of Hebrews back to its Hebrew roots. We take it back to the Tanakh and see what was being said in its historical context. But before we get to that, Mr. Spiritual Babies, I want to ask you a question. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever get the Jobies come around and knock on the door?
I'm three floors up, and they don't like to use stairs. You know, they like front doors. They like a nice long street and a whole load of doors.
So you didn't
get
them.
One time I met one on the street. And she said, "Can I talk to you about Jesus?" And I said, "Yes, you can." And we chatted for about an hour. And her first question to me was, "Are you Muslim?" Because I had, because I have a beard.
And, well, you must be Muslim.
No.
Yeah, that's not a good start, eh?
But we had a good chat, and I'll be honest.
Go on.
It's awesome. I know they have an agenda, and I know there are other things driving them forward. But, you know, this lady, she was in her 50s, and she had to print her own leaflets, and she got up, and every day she goes out and knocks on doors and thinks that she's helping people.
And for the most part, they do engage. That's my experience as well. And that in itself is satisfying, isn't it?
Yeah, and... You know, I wish I had that kind of dedication that I'd go out and knock on doors.
Well, you've got to admire their zeal. I mean, they do have zeal, and they do they live according to their convictions, and they do go out and knock on doors. And I respect that, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses. And when the last place that we lived, Cootamundra, there was a guy, his name was Ian. G'day, Ian, if you're listening, I bet you aren't, but he used to come around. He used to come around all the time because, you know, he and I'd sit down outside on the porch and discuss theology, and it was good stuff. And so he figured I was a bit of a tough nut to crack. And so he would come back and come back and come back. And he was, you know, he was serious stuff. And eventually he brought the big wig. His name was Lorne. And I think that was the last ditch effort to try and convert me to the Jehovah's Witness faith. But I do admire their zeal. I admire their perseverance. But then when we moved here where I am now, we have had a... Now, the funny thing about it, that boy, they are persistent. My driveway, Mr. Spiritual Babies, is a kilometre long. It's a long driveway. And from the main road, you can't see our house. It's just buried in a bunch of trees. But that doesn't stop them. And they would come, and it's weird. Like, someone just comes out of the blue and knocks on the door. Especially the front door, because you just don't do that. I mean, anyone who knows us always comes around the back. Someone's knocking on the front door. Clearly, they're lost, or, you know. But I want to know. I answered the door, and it's a Jehovah's Witness. And I thought, oh, goody. And so, you know, we'd engage. We'd have a bit of a chat. And I said to them, and twice, different Jobies have come before. And I said, look, here's my phone number. Just give me a call before you come next time. I mean, by all means, come. But just give me a call. That way, I know you're coming, as opposed to you just turning on out of the blue. And they never returned. And I was really bummed out about that because I had good Jovi value in Cootamundra. But here in Cowra, they just don't want to talk. They don't want to be engaged.
What you're saying is you want this show to go out to everyone to tell any Jehovah's Witnesses in the area.
Come and knock on my door. Just ring me first. Now... This brings me to our topic, because I don't even know what I was looking for. I was on the web and I was searching for something or other, and on a Google search, and there in the search results, there was a YouTube video by Dr. James White. Now, Dr. James White is a Calvinist apologist, a Christian apologist. He had YouTube, and it was entitled "Jehovah is Jesus," or vice versa. And I thought, ooh, that'll be interesting. I wonder where he's going with that. How is he going to put those two together? That's fascinating. So I clicked on it, and lo and behold, he was giving a presentation to a bunch of Protestant Calvinists, whatever they are. I think he's a Baptist minister, right? I can't recall now, but he was giving a presentation as to how to respond to the Jobies when they come and knock on the door and show them that Jesus is Jehovah. And I thought, oh, this is fascinating. I mean, he had my attention straight away. And he had the main text that he used was found. Guess which book it was found in?
The Book of Hebrews, perchance?
Lo and behold, it was in the Book of Hebrews. And I thought, oh, this is great. And he explained it all, and it just blew my mind. I thought, this is really fascinating. I thought, we've got to do a program on this. I mean, come on. We've got to take these, the very verses that the writer of Hebrews, who's the writer of Hebrews?
Nobody knows. It may have been a Jehovah's Witness.
It could have been. No, I don't think it was, actually. And I think you'll agree with me by the time we finish this program. But we don't know who wrote the Book of Hebrews, but he uses he quotes a lot from the Tanakh, primarily using the Septuagint, and which is the Greek translation of the Tanakh. And there are things that seem to get lost in translation. So what we're going to do is take the Book of Hebrews back to its Hebrew roots and see what it actually said back there. Boy, does that all make sense?
Absolutely.
Turn to Psalm 102. I want you to read verses 25, 26, and 27 of Psalm 102.
Okay, 25, 26, 27. In the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment, like clothing. You will change them, and they will be discarded. But you remain the same, and your years will never end.
So you remain the same, and your years will have no end. Who is the you? If we search around in this chapter of Psalm 102, can we identify who it is talking of?
Well, as I scan up the page, 24 says, so I said, do not take me away, my God. And as I go up a little bit longer, 19 has a capital L-O-R-D, so that's Jehovah.
There it is. It is. It's Jehovah. So if you look at, let's see, the very, very first verse, it says, hear my prayer, O Jehovah. Verse 12, it says, but you, O Jehovah, shall endure forever in the remembrance of your name to all generations. Verse 15, so the nations shall fear the name of Jehovah. Verse 18, that the people yet to be created may praise Jehovah. 19, for he looked down from the heavens, down from the height of his sanctuary. From heaven, Jehovah viewed the earth. 21, to declare the name of Jehovah in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem. 22, when the people are gathered together and the kingdoms to serve Jehovah. It's pretty clear who this is talking about, okay?
Right.
Well, you know what? James White agrees. He says this is clearly, clearly about Jehovah. Can you go to Hebrews chapter 1? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
Oh, yeah, I'm there.
All right, give it to me from, let's go from 10.
He also says, in the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you will remain. They will wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe, like a garment that will be changed. But you now, remain. Yep.
You remain the same, and your years will not fail. Never. Who is the you in this one?
Well, in this one, the author is speaking about someone that they call the Son of God.
Ah, that's right. And this is what Dr. James White points out. It begins in verse 1 with God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in times past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Verse 8, but to the Son, he says, and the he being the Father, to the Son, he says, and we're going to come back to this, but it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And that's quoting from Psalm 45. We're going to go there in a minute. Just to reiterate, it says, but to the Son. That's how it starts in verse 8. But to the Son, he says, and in verse 10, and he also says, he continues, and then it quotes Psalm 102, as if Jehovah is saying this to the Son. Because, of course, the Jehovah's Witnesses do not believe that Jesus is Jehovah. The writer of Hebrews connects Yeshua, with Jehovah as one and the same. In fact, Jehovah calling Yeshua Jehovah by quoting Psalm 102. There you go. And that apparently, according to Dr. James White, is the most black and white example that you can give to convince a Jehovah's Witness that Jesus is, in fact, Jehovah.
Wow.
Yeah.
The recording we did last week on Romans 10 strikes me as being something similar, where we have the capital L-O-R-D in our Bibles, representing two different words at the same time. So the translator of that passage has decided to use a word
Yes. So we're talking about the word. We're talking about the word kurios again,
right?
As Lord in the New Testament. Mm. It's what Nehemiah refers to as Pope Benedict's three-card Monty.
That's right.
Do you remember that? So people can find that. Maybe you can put a link.
We will. There it is.
Bing. Psalm 45, Mr. Spiritual Babies, take me there.
Okay.
6 and 7.
All right. Your throne, O Elohim, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has sent you.
Okay, so your throne... So what it says in Hebrews is, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Now, that had us, when we were looking at this yesterday, we were a little bit confused with this verse, right? I mean, the part that says, therefore, God, your God, and where it says, your throne, O God, is forever. Who is it speaking of in Psalm chapter 45?
Well, you know, I thought I had a rough idea who it was. So I thought, well, obviously this is about David. And then we called in the professional scholar, Nehemiah, and he had a different perspective.
We were a little confused, it has to be said. We certainly felt like we had bitten off more than we could chew. So we buzzed Nehemiah. Nehemiah said, let's look at it. He was free straight away. Now, let me just say something about Nehemiah. It's unbelievable. I said to him, can I just ask you about Psalm 45? He said, sure, let's do it now. So we got on Skype, and half an hour later, he had explained to me all these different, he attempted to explain to me all these different grammatical points of Hebrew and what this verse was actually saying, and different examples of this rare use of the grammar and so on and so forth. And it appeared 13 times here, here, and here throughout the Tanakh. And if you turn here, you read this, can you see how it's the same? And so we went back and forth. He believes it's probably about Solomon. Solomon had a lot of wives, and it's, you know, this seems to be something that would have been read at a wedding, and so he thinks it's probably Solomon. Now, that's an interesting thing, because it says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. Does that mean that the writer is referring to Solomon as God?
Mm.
That's the question. Now, it can also be rendered, Mr. Spiritual Babies, as, got it in my new JPS, it does say in verse 6, your divine throne is everlasting. And I said to Nehemiah, can that be interpreted that way? He said, it certainly can. It can be interpreted that way. It can. The word Elohim is there, but it can be rendered as divine. And we're going to see some examples of that a little later on. So your divine throne. Now, if it's speaking of Solomon, that can be made, a connection can be made to 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 26, I think. Let's have a look at that.
Solomon successfully took over the throne of Jehovah as king instead of his father David, and all went well with him. All Israel accepted him.
Your divine throne.
Mm-hmm.
Referred to here in 1 Chronicles 29:23 as the throne. Solomon sat on the throne of Jehovah as king instead of David, his father.
So there we can read that as the throne belongs to Jehovah, and he places onto it whoever he wants.
That's fair enough. Now, the thing that threw the spanner into the works was that Nehemiah seemed to think that it was better read the way that most English Bibles have got it, as your throne, O God, is forever. And he says, why not? I mean, why not refer to the king as Elohim?
Mm.
And I said, well, clearly it's not talking about Elohim. And he goes, oh, well, it's not talking about God, the creator of the universe. Well, that's very, very clear. But there are examples of where other people are referred to as Elohim. Now, we continue on, and it says in the book of Hebrews, it says, the scepter of your righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. And there was a couple of different readings there as well. It can say, rightly, God, your God, has chosen to anoint you. That's what it has in the new JPS. Rightly, God, your God, has chosen to anoint you. But Nehemiah threw a spanner in the works again, and he said, you know what I think it says? I said, what does it say? And he said, therefore, your God has anointed you Elohim.
Mm.
Therefore, your God has anointed you God.
So it's pretty important then to find out exactly what Elohim can mean rather than what we all assume it means straight away.
So that's exactly what we did. So we turn to Exodus chapter 4, verse 16. Give it to me, Mr. Spiritual Babies.
He will speak to the people for you, and it will be as if he were your mouth, and as if you were God to him.
There it is. And you know what? It doesn't say as if you were God. It actually says, and you shall be God to him. Mm-hmm. That's what it says in the Hebrew. You shall be God to him. Go right. to Exodus 22, verse... No, Exodus 7, verse 1.
Then Jehovah said to Moses, see, I have made you like God to Pharaoh and your brother
Aaron.
See,
I have made you... Mm-hmm. Yep. See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh. But again, like is not in the text. It says, see, I have made you God. I have made you Elohim to Pharaoh.
Cool.
Exodus 22, verse 9.
In all cases of illegal possession of an ox, a donkey, a sheep, a garment, or any other lost property about which somebody says, this is mine, both parties are to bring their cases before the judges. The one whom the judges declare guilty must pay back double to the other.
Both of those, the judges mentioned twice, both of those is the word Elohim.
Brilliant.
How about that?
It's awesome.
Now, that's not all. That's not all, Mr. Spiritual Babies. Go to Psalm 82.
From the beginning?
Oh, do you know what? I mean, we could read the relevant passages, but it's such a great chapter and it's kind of short. It'd be a shame not to read the whole thing.
Yeah, let's go for it. God presides in the great assembly. He renders judgment among the gods. How long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend the weak and the fatherless. Uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed. Rescue the weak and the needy. Deliver them from the hand of the wicked. The gods know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. I said, you are gods. You are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere mortals. You will fall like every other ruler. Rise up, O God, judge the earth, for all the nations are your inheritance.
How cool is that? That's Alpha boy, it's a good, great chapter, Psalm 82. But it says, God stands in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. And that, of course, is Elohim. Mm-hmm. And many would render that, their translations would render it as judges. He judges among the judges, just as we saw in Exodus chapter 22. And in verse 6 of Psalm 82, you are gods, and all of you are the children of the Most High, but you shall die like men. You are gods. That's Elohim as well. But clearly, Mr. Spiritual Babies, what isn't happening here is that God is not saying to them, you are Elohim. You are the creator, the almighty. You are the one and only God. I mean, how ridiculous to think that that would be the case. But in all of those passages that we just read, that's certainly not what's being conveyed. Would you agree?
I agree. Yes.
I think so too. But if we go to, I like the note, the study note that's in the new JPS here, and it says, where it says that this may be translated, your throne, O God, is everlasting, where the king is referred to as God. If this is taken literally, this psalm would be unique in the entire Bible in explicitly depicting the king as divine, a notion that existed at times in other ancient Near Eastern cultures, but is otherwise absent in biblical thought. So, we could go with the exception to the rule, or we could go with the harmony of Scripture, and I'm more inclined to do that.
Yeah.
There we go. So, how about that? So, according to Nehemiah, and I think it's very fair, he thinks that it can say, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. And also, therefore, God, your God, has appointed you, or as Nehemiah put it, therefore, your God has anointed you God. Therefore, your God has anointed you Elohim. There is what the writer of Hebrews is quoting, and then goes on to say, so he's saying that Jehovah said to the Son, and then we have Psalm 45 that we just unpacked, and he also said Psalm 102. And what he's claiming is that Jehovah said, you, Jehovah, to the Son, you, Jehovah, in the beginning laid your foundation on the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands, and they will perish, and you will remain, and so on and so forth, but you will be the same. Now, think about that line, but you are the same, is what it says. It's like saying, like me saying to you, you are Jono, and you will be the same. That is me, but now you.
Yeah.
And the thing that I find interesting about it is that the theme of Psalm 102, like I said, it says in verse 12, but you, O Yehovah, shall endure forever. You, Yehovah, shall endure forever. And the remembrance of your name to all generations. So the nations shall fear the name of Yehovah, and that to declare the name of Yehovah in Zion and his praise in Jerusalem, when the peoples are gathered together in the kingdoms to serve Yehovah. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. Just some verses out of Psalm 102. That's and yet the writer of Hebrews has no problem with saying that the Father refers to Yeshua as Yehovah. There you go. Now listen, we got a lot of different people listening to the program. Some of them may believe that, and I'm sure some of them do. Some of them don't. So what you can do is have a little bit of a study of it. If you do believe that, then have fun next time the Jobies knock on your door. Have a bit of fun and see what they do with it. But if you do believe that and you enjoyed this program, well, you'll probably enjoy the other Hebrew Roots programs as well. What do you reckon, Mr. Spiritual Babies?
Yep, and they're going to be on your screen in a few minutes. And you just have to click on the one you want to watch and you can go and watch it. I want to say right now that these shows aren't about telling you what to think. We're just showing you the text. And trying to strip back everything and just give you the text. So you can believe what you want, but we want to encourage people to have an informed decision.
Good one. Always handy to take the book of Hebrews back to its Hebrew roots and see where it was quoting from and what it said, what it meant in its historical context and language. So there it is, boys and girls. Hebrew Roots. Last one, maybe.
Finished, maybe. Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Who knows? They said that about Star Wars.
It's true. Until next time, dear listeners, be blessed and be set apart by the truth of our Father's word. Visit spiritualbabies.net. Shalom.